The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Well, that summarizes the weekend.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Hello, everybody. My name's Tim Daniel, and his name's Ben Brown. And welcome to Late Night Reds.
Hey, it's just like we talked about. At some point, we knew not like this is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We knew. I mean, and this isn't a slight on our Reds, but we, you know, it's professional sports. We know, you know, nights like these happen. You know, weekends like this happen. So
yes, they do. Yes, you know, they do.
So we so here we go.
Yeah, man. Well, first things first, want to make sure we give our huge shout out to our wonderful friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy who make all of this possible. So please be sure to hang out with us there. If you have a couple bucks that you can spare, that's awesome. And come spend some time with us there. We definitely appreciate it. Also, we're going to talk about happy things before we get to the weekend. Don't forget, if you don't have it on your calendar yet, July 6th, it's a Saturday, before the Tigers are in town, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Smoke Justice in Covington, Kentucky. I know my guy Branch Brown loves some delicious smoked meats. This is the spot for him. The wings, the brisket, you name it, they do it right.
Yes,
and we're going to be there, Riverfront, live before the Reds-Tigers game. Hopefully, you know, guys are back and healthy by then, and we're talking about a lot more fun than we're having right now. So,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you can make it out to come hang out with us, we would love to see you there. But yeah, we'll also be doing recording the show live and we'll be doing our thing. So, let's go ahead, I guess. And, the weekend recap, guys, as you saw by the title, need hats for bats. We need Jobu.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, normally I do the recaps and I'll like highlight players' performances. This week was just, Hunter Green almost made 6 innings on Friday after a really long rain delay. Very impressed by that, by the way. I want to talk about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Saturday, 2-1 loss. Was not a fun game, but hey, starting pitching, really solid once again.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we all needed a drink, right? 11-1. They don't score that one run till the ninth inning. I don't think Nick Lodolo is necessarily bad. I think Baltimore's great.
Yes.
They're probably the best team in the American League. And whatever that means anymore, as we've said in the last couple of weeks, interleague play is not a thing. And so that lineup's unbelievable, 1-9. I don't know if I would have pulled him at 85 pitches, to be honest with you. I might throw him out another inning. And that's not because I had the over on strikeouts today.
Right,
I promise.
Right.
I'm just saying that. But, buddy, this is like bleeding over from the Padres series into this series. And the Padres series wasn't necessarily bad. I think, you know, they lost two of the three, I know, but and Fernando Cruz was due to have a bad outing. But just kind of, you know, they've now lost five in a row.
Yeah.
They've scored a total of five runs in that time span. After Friday, it's obviously stopped now because they scored a run yesterday and a run today. Did you know after Friday, they had been shut out three of their last five games at home?
Oh, my gosh.
So thankfully they scored a run and a run, but you know,
yeah.
They were both in the ninth inning. So they were, to quote Molly Hatchet, they were flirting with disaster.
They were flirting.
But
yes, they were.
It's just kind of, like you said, like it's baseball, right? These things happen.
Yeah.
And I could live with these things happening if, the team really made a ton of effort to really go after their weaknesses in the offseason. And it's not like, it's not to say I don't blame them for the Jamer Candelarios and Nick Martinez's, any of those guys. Like that was great. You were trying to make the team better. And it just hasn't panned out just yet. It's the, we knew they needed a right-handed outfielder. We knew we needed a top of the line starting pitcher. All these things that we're sitting at this situation now where guys like Stuart Fairchild and Nick Martini are getting way too many at bats for a big league team. And, Ben and I are normally not like anti-front office people. We kind of just go with the flow. You know, we're happy-go-lucky people. We have fun. But Nick Kroll and crew, their plan's not looking too hot right now. And I understand. All right, I'm probably just going off right now and not even letting you speak.
No. Hey, listen. No, you're rolling. You're rolling.
So,
I'm listening. We're good.
I just have like a lot of irritations about this. All right, the first thing.
Hey, listen. You never stop a heater. Let's go. You're in it. Let's go.
let's go back to Texas last week, right?
Yep.
They play shorthanded three games in a row going into San Diego. And I understand you want to hold out just to see, like, maybe they'll play Saturday. Maybe we'll have them available Sunday. Didn't happen. The week before that, they did the same thing. India, Fraley, sick. Should we call guys up so we have 26 guys? Nope, not going to do that. Okay, we're going to just keep rolling what we got. Maybe they'll be available, but they weren't in the clubhouse today. That seems like a smart idea and a smart game plan. I just don't understand this whole thing where they're just like, yeah, we'll play shorthanded. And like, they can't be that worried about minor league options at this point. If you're trying to be competitive, if you're trying to win. And then the Mike Ford thing, I know it's gotten way out of proportion. Like, no, I didn't think Mike Ford was the answer,
but
worst case scenario, he is just as bad as Nick Martini, right? That's all there was to me. That's all I'm going to say about it. And then CES, who just like looks lost, doesn't look competitive at times. I know he had like a bloop single this weekend. That was cool, I guess. And he, but just kind of, I mean, like for this team right now, where it's like your game plan of moving on from the Nick Senzels and the Joey Vados was like, these guys are ready. He's not looked ready. Like Spencer Steer, I know, is in a slump right now. He's looked ready most of the time.
I have no
issues with Spencer Steer's a slump. I believe fully that he's gonna smash a large pizza and he's gonna get out of it at some point. But dude, I just feel like this is something where, and I hate being like, this is all the front office fault guy. I never like to be that guy, but at some point you got to look at what you're given here and just kind of be like, all right, we've played shorthanded way too much this year already. And we already knew we were down guys, and we're playing guys we know have just proven over and over and over and over and over again. They're not major league players. They're 4A players at best. And it's just kind of getting to the point where, and I'm sorry for those who are listening to this right now who love listening to us because we have fun, and I plan to make this a fun show, I promise. It's just that right now, with how things are going, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's the expectations, right? I mean, we expect it to be better. Now, I'm not saying that Baltimore is not a good team. We all know that is the best team, probably top three teams in baseball. We are not saying that.
Absolutely.
However, what my questions are, you know, why do we continue to play shorthanded? When are we going to switch things up? You know, what's the option here with David Bell? What are we doing here? And somebody else brought up a really good point. And we had this conversation this weekend. And I can remember, and like I said, this isn't going to be a bash session. I'm not trying to bash anything. But Zach Taylor, Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
They go 8-8 or 9-8, or they have a stretch where they lose three games in a row. I mean, everybody's just ready to cut his head off. He's terrible. He can't coach. He's this. He's that. Why does David Bell get a pass? And I'm not saying that the Reds should. I'm not saying that the Reds should be where they're not or whether. But like, I feel like everybody accepts his everyday normal. Well, we just got to be better. Well, we got to do this. Well, no crap, David Bell. Like, we know that. These are things we know. We got to be better. Now, granted, I will never be a guy that says that a manager can control who's going to hit the baseball, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. Those guys are professional athletes. I get it. However, there have got to be some things where you step in and say, okay, let's move this guy around. Let's move this guy in. Let's bring some guys up. Let's do this. Let's try some different things because we know we're shorthanded already. We know we don't have Friedel. We know we ain't getting Matt McClain back anytime soon. We know these different things. Why are we not trying to switch a little bit of things up, switch the mojo up a little bit, do something? And I can't even blame the pitching. Like, for the most part, the pitching has been decent. We've gotten really good starts, and our bullpen, for the most part, has held together a lot. When you can't score no runs, if you ain't scoring no runs, you ain't going to beat nobody.
Right.
So at some point, we've got to make a change. I know that we were texting back and forth about CES, Candelario. Now, Candelario started to come out a little bit, but even still, like, he was our big acquisition. We moved guys out that we had here that we knew could do things, and he's supposed to be the guy to fill these spots.
At worst, the same thing.
At least the same thing. You know, CES is supposed to be ready. You know, when we said, oh, he's going to have a slow start, but at some point, like, watching his at-bats this weekend, like, dude, he just, like, he looks uncomfortable. He looks like he's, like everybody's overmatched to him. Oh, yeah. He's just overmatched. Why are you overmatched against everybody? You can't be a professional baseball player and be overmatched against everybody. Can't happen.
I agree.
There's definitely some questions. And like I said, I don't want to make this, I mean, they're 16 and 17 or 16 whatever.
16 now, yeah.
16 and 18. They're only two games under. I'm not going to sit here and just say, you know, crash the ship, do whatever. We're not going to do all that. But, like, I just feel like there's some passes being given that shouldn't be given. And at some point, you got to start to question it a little bit. And it's 162 games. I get it. But at some point, you got to look at some things and say, okay, what are we going to do to make this situation better?
Right. And Sydney brings up the point, he doesn't control call-ups. And that's right. She's absolutely right.
Agreed.
But, like, you think that, like, if you think that Nick Kroll's not like, hey, man, do you think you could, like, we're going to bring this guy up? Like, do you think this is a good idea? That says far more about the front office than says the manager. And that's something that really needs to be, that communication needs to get better. And Bob brings it up. And look, we've said it a million times. And look, I'm going to say it too. The team needs a leader, and Joey Votto would have been perfect for this role. Remember when people said we can't bring him back because he might screw up the vibe? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do, and I think we were proponents
of... Speak on it. Speak on it, Tim Daniel. Speak on it. Do not hold your tongue. Speak on it.
What did I say a million times when it came to the option? I said that every team needs a veteran leader they can be like, when someone's slumping, someone who can pull them aside, pull the iPad out, look at at-bats, give them tips and advice. Just someone who, when things aren't going your way, they are there. And I wasn't saying that he was going to come out and hit 30 home runs, break the franchise home run record. I would have loved for him to do it, but I definitely agree, Bob. I 1,000% agree. And I understand you did not want to pick up the option, but for what he signed in Toronto, you couldn't have made that deal. Like, that's silly. It's disrespectful. And also looks really bad right now. And hey, I understand what his 4 or 5 years were in the big league team in Cincinnati, Ohio. Look at our third baseman's numbers right now. Look at Nicholas Peterson Zell's third numbers right now in third base for the Washington Nationals. Okay. Like, tell me something here. And look, there's been people who's like, I understand that relationship was flawed. That relationship had a lot of issues, but which guy would you rather have right now? I'm probably just bitching right now. But
listen, this is what we do. This is why we have a podcast, right? Like, this is what we do. These are the things that we do. We talk about these things. There's things that we want to get off our chest, and there's things that we want to discuss, and that's one of them. Like, there's got to be a reason why we can't right the ship. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a reason why.
And like, to bring up the David Bell point, no, I don't think he's 100% at fault here. And I appreciate that he has tried different things with the lineup. I do. But also, there are times when he's like, I know we're shorthanded, but can we have Stuart Fairchild bat third today in a Major League Baseball game? And ain't it, Chief. That ain't it.
That's not what the Rock is cooking. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah, for sure. And I love Luke Maley, the backup defensive catcher. I think he is exceptional at his job. Should not be pinch hitting for people. And granted, that says a lot about your bench too, right? Like, when you have no bench bats. And I understand that 2012 is not going to happen again, but that team, look, they had dudes they could call in off the bench when they needed the Xavier Pauls, the Chris Heisey's, the Deandre Navarro's, those guys. And you just haven't seen that in Cincinnati since. And I think that's one of the things that really kind of sucks about this, especially because so many guys are not doing what we expect them to do. And we talked about this as a thing in the offseason too, Ben, where we all had these high expectations. We all were like, all these young guys who are growing up together are going to be so good. And I'm not quitting on the team. I still believe that's a lot of opportunity. Like we said, you get through May and you're two games under 500. Your June and July schedules are pretty solid if you get your dudes back. And I understand you don't look at the schedule to kind of dictate your season. I understand that. But, I'm just saying, this. My point – I can't remember what my point was. But I just think that we're at this point where I don't know what more you have to see from these guys. And I think that we kind of need to have this, upbringing, this different conversation. And look, I'm not fire David Bell. I'm not fire the hitting coach. I'm not fire the third base coach. But Stuart Fairchild and Nick Martini cannot continue to get at bats like this. Like, they cannot have 4 at bat days. They just absolutely cannot. And Emilio Pagan, who I thought was going to figure it out here. I didn't think he was going to be a home run machine. Wrong.
Wrong.
I don't know, man. Sydney says we need a jolt of a call up, and I'm trying to figure out who that is. It's not, I don't know if Blake Dunn changes everything. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's oh man, he's here. All right. I like him. Genuinely think he's a good player. I think Jacob Hurtubisi, I think he's been hurt. So I don't know if he's consistently playing. I'm sure someone who's some blowhard minor leagues fanatic is probably going to be pissed at me for that, but whatever. Yeah. All right, dude. So let's talk about Hunter Green for a second. I know we do this every week. I just want to say that the fact that he was within and out of a quality start on Friday after a long rain delay and battled himself. It was one of those games, him versus him, man.
Yeah.
And he was solid. I wouldn't say he was great, but I would definitely not say he was bad. He had more walks than I wanted him to have, but strikeouts were fine. He was getting people out. This is what we're talking about with him now, because this stretch that he's been on now, 4 straight outings without a home run given up. And we talked about last week with Steve, when Steve surprised us, strikeouts are down, outs are up. And you love to see it because I think now, so I think he's going to get one of the Arizona games. I haven't seen a tweet yet. If anyone's in the chat that has seen, if they've gone ahead and updated with Montas coming back, if they're going ahead and put the list out, let me know and I'll display it because right now this list is TBA on my stuff. But dude, like we talked about it. Like I couldn't be happier with what we saw from him last week, with what we saw from Ashcraft. I thought Ashcraft in that San Diego game was really solid. I thought Andrew Abbott was awesome yesterday.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And I thought Lodolo was fine today. I think like, you know, people look at quality starts as far as like he gave up four runs in this. And I know people are going to say that, but it was the Orioles, right? Like,
yeah. Well, and two, here's the thing. Giving up four runs in a Major League Baseball game is still a winnable baseball game if you're playing normal baseball.
Yeah.
You're still with the, anything within Grand Slam distance, you're still within a winnable game. So four runs to me, I mean, albeit, you know, it's not Nick Lodolo-esque.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
It's still a winnable game. Like, that's not something where you're like, oh, we gave up four runs. I'm like, it's still a winnable game to me. So even Lodolo's start wasn't terrible. You know, getting back to Hunter Green, I really like the fact – this is going to sound crazy. I really like the fact that he's not striking out as many people. Like, my thing to me is that learning how to use your pitches is more important to me than being a strikeout artist. If you learn how to pitch and you learn how to get guys out without using the strikeout and using your pitches. Now, granted, the walks, like we talked about, the walks are higher than we wanted, but when you're able to get outs and you're not 10, 11, 12 Ks. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but to see him go from a 9 to 11 strikeout a guy game to 4, 5, 6 strikeouts tells me that he is learning how to pitch without being an overpowering power pitcher. He's learning how to pitch games and be consistent and get outs in other ways, which is good. Because here's the thing. When he was trying to be a power pitcher, everybody in Major League Baseball can hit the fastball, which means he was giving up more home runs at a high rate. And we had talked about that before. He had not given up a home run in his last, three outings, I believe. The last four.
I had a Powerade drink. Or I was
there we go. Yeah. You're good. Last four outings, which tells me that he is starting to learn how to pitch around guys without being trying to be a power pitcher and rely on his fastball for everything. So very impressed with what he's been able to do. He's been able to get outs without using his fastball. Well, not using it more consistently, trying to be a power pitcher. So he's making the progress that you would like to see.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. I think it's like he grew a beard and just was like, I'm a pitcher now.
Yep. It's maturity.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, Brett Favre won that Super Bowl with the Packers, and then the next year he had a full facial hair, and you're like,
Yeah.
He's like, four is here. Buy my Jeep.
Yep. Yep. So, you want some Wranglers. You want my Wranglers.
So, Sydney, yes. I did see the tweet, Sydney. Thank you. I knew Montas was coming back for the Arizona series. I just didn't know if they announced what day yet. All right. Let's talk about a couple guys real quick offensively, mm-hmm. and then we'll get to some more fun stuff. Hold on. Got another tweet from man. Here we go. All right. So Montas is pitching Tuesday.
Okay.
Graham Ashcroft is pitching Wednesday. Hunter Green is pitching Thursday.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you for the update, Sydney and Mark Sheldon. Much appreciated. All right, awesome. Buddy. We're going to talk about one of our favorite players here, and it bums me out that mm-hmm. we're going to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about Willie Beeman, a.k.a. Will Benson. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at his Baseball Savant page, my favorite thing in the universe, as I say each and every week, I don't think Baseball Savant can necessarily sponsor us, but if they could, I'd appreciate you. How about your boys? So, and Sadak talked about this during the game today, has the highest strikeout rate in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Batting average is certainly down, on base percentage mm-hmm. certainly down, is a barrel machine still. And when he does make contact, it certainly does damage, but the contact has not been there as much as we'd like to see it. The sprint speed's still really solid. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, obviously different position, maybe leadoff hitter is not for him.
Yeah.
If that's one of the things people are going to use, I'm not trying to discredit anything at all, but, at this point, I think that there's two trains of thought here, and I'm kind of curious which train of thought you take.
Yeah.
We've seen him go through these slumps before, right? It's the most mm-hmm. famous, it's one of the more famous stories from last year. Started the year 1-17, goes down, and then comes back up and is awesome. Mm-hmm. Dave asked, did anyone in the first four of our lineup today have a batting average over 200? Ellie and Spencer Steer.
Spencer Steer.
Yeah. I know Spencer Steer's been slumping, but he was still there. So with him, you know, like I said, he came back and had this tear. There's also, is this a blip in the radar? Is this something where once he kind of calms down, because he's been really good with the strike zone most of his career, he's kind of known, like, he's been really like understanding of stuff. Is he just mm-hmm. chasing too many things? Is he pressing because they're down right now? Yeah. I really like him. I believe in him. I know there's a lot of people questioning if he's actually good or not. And I still stand by, like, I want a guy like that on my team. Yeah. I think it's a blip in the radar. I think he'll be fine, but this is not great.
No. I think we have a bunch of guys in our lineup that are pressing. When you're not winning baseball games and you know that you've got a tough schedule coming up, I think a lot of our guys are in that same boat. I think they're trying to be that guy that's going to spark the lineup, right? Will Benson is one of those guys. I think Steer, Ellie, I think they're all trying to be that spark. And sometimes when you're trying to be that spark, you know, you take swings that you normally wouldn't take. You chase balls that you normally wouldn't chase because you're trying to get things going. So I think that that's part of it. And I think that there are a lot of guys in our lineup that are doing that right now. I think I think the day off is going to be good because it lets them reset a little bit. I mean, you go from the West Coast back here to play the best team in baseball, or arguably the best team in baseball. And now you got a chance to right the ship versus Arizona. You get Frankie Montas back. Hopefully he's back to normal. And you get a quality start from him. And you're going to get an opportunity to, right the ship, dude. I think that a lot of those guys are just pressing right now. I think that's just the nature of baseball. I think you see that with a lot of guys when your whole batting lineup and you're struggling to score runs, you're struggling to get hits, you're struggling to get on base, you're losing games. I think that that's just part of it. And I think a lot of those guys are really playing out of character. So I don't think this is Will Benson's character. I don't think this is who he is. I think that he will be better. Actually, I think all those guys will be better. I think it's just they just got to get out of their own way a little bit.
Got to put a Jibu in the clubhouse.
Yep. Yeah.
Pour him some rum.
Yep.
Light some candles.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's what they need. I'm with you. I think when we kind of did the thing through the offseason, we talked about all these guys and just kind of looked at Fangraph projections. He was the one that was kind of really the most projected to be like, he's going to have a slump. Like, he's going to probably be the guy that struggles. He's the most likely to struggle out of the group of all the young guys from last year. And I kind of agreed with that. I think he's going to be good. I think he's gonna, like, when like, I think this team's going to get it going. I don't know when. I hope it's not too late. You know, when the Martes and the McLeans come back. But I really do think that he's going to be a difference maker at some point for this team. And, you know, it sounds like we're going to talk about this a little bit, but you know, TJ Friedel could potentially be back for this Diamondback series as well. Mm-hmm. And that's probably make him a little bit more comfortable too, to have that guy around him in the lineup.
Yep. Absolutely.
Maybe it's the thing where I think we all last year were like, we need to see what he can do against Latina pitching. We need to see what he can do at the top of the lineup. It hasn't been pretty. But I appreciate that he's like, challenge accepted, bring it, let's go.
Yeah.
And I think that he's the kind of guy that like, he's going to work at it and work at it and work at it until he has it. And so,
I think we talked about that too. Being the leadoff hitter is probably the most stressful. Guys that made a career out of it are incredible because it's the most stressful. Not, I can't say it's the most stressful. I'll say this. You're setting the table for your whole lineup.
Yeah.
And you're going out there just going off scouting report and what this guy does to start the game and go through. You're setting the table for everybody else. So being a leadoff hitter is not easy.
No, it is not. All right, let's talk about CES because this is also not pretty. And buddy, that's a lot of blue on the baseless Devon Bage.
Yes, oh boy.
He's made some nice defensive plays of late. I'll give him that.
Several of them last night.
Yeah. Were you at the game last night?
No, but actually Isaac was. He got two shirts last night.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, he got the fourth shirt and then he got some other shirt too. So
I was trying to get one.
He was there with my sister-in-law.
I told people in the chat, in the Slack chat, that if they got one, if they so happen to get a size large, I would trade them and get them a shirt off our site. Offer still stands if anyone has one that they're willing to get rid of. All right. So
there you go.
All right. So expected slugging's nice. Barrel percentage is nice. Base running run value is solid. That's it. Like you said earlier, looks lost. Just looks absolutely lost. You know, the thing in baseball is always like you just need one hit to kind of get things going. And I thought that Bloop maybe was going to do it, and it didn't. So it's kind of soul-crushing at times. And again, this is not for us to come on here and be like, I'm done with CES. Send him back to Louisville. Figure it out.
No.
He might not hurt him to, you know, have a couple days in Louisville. But I think that I think that with him, maybe it's going to take a little bit longer to kind of get more comfortable. Remember, like, he didn't have a ton of at-bats in the big leagues last year. You know, he's playing every day now, where last year was kind of like, one day I'm playing, one day Votto's playing, one day Spears playing. So maybe that plays a part into it as well. Maybe just scouting report, but, like, doesn't take pitches, doesn't know what a walk means at this point. I think he had one this week, and I was like, oh, wow, that's surprising. That's an improvement. but I would genuinely say I'm not giving up on him by any stretch of the matter. I'm not like done with him because I think that's silly. But I am nervous.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of have to be, because it's not, I would feel better. If the at-bats looked better. But, dude, his at-bats have just looked, like, really bad. Like you know, we're sitting there watching last night at the end of the game. Of course, we had a chance to win. And even that at-bat just didn't look
– No.
Just didn't look confident. Like, he – you know what I mean? He didn't look confident in the box. So, and I don't know how you fix that. I mean, you know, right now he's at a sink or swim, right? I mean, you ain't like you're going to be at first. You're going to be in the lineup, so you better figure it out. And I think that's where they're at right now. I think they're just saying, "Hey, bro, you got to figure it out."
No pressure, my guy, but you're just not filling the shoes of a future Hall of Famer.
All right, you know? Listen, hey, you got to figure it out, my guy, because you know, the guy that was there before was incredible. So I don't know. I think that part of that is just maturity, right? I mean, he's got to get more at bats. Man, it would be nice to have a veteran to talk to in that lineup.
What? You know,
I mean, but anyway, huh? I digress. But you know, I just think that that's one of those things where he, you know, the more at bats he gets, hopefully he'll get more comfortable in there. And I can't say that he's looked uncomfortable the whole season because he has had some decent at bats. But hopefully it's something that he gets corrected. And sometimes too, dude, it's a mindset, right? Like you get in there and you're like, dude, this guy has a certain ERA, or this guy throws this pitch that I've proven I can't hit, and you get into the box and you're already behind the eight ball. So a lot of that is that with him as well, because it's not the talent level. I mean, we know he's talented enough.
Right.
A lot of it is just a mental game. You know, it's a mental game with these guys, and being able to get into the box and know that you can make quality contact and be a professional hitter.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think that's it for the negatives. All right, guys, we're going to have some fun back on Late Night Reds like we normally do now, all right? We just had to have a venting session. We had to get it all out, like burn some sage. Like, yep. We just had to make sure, like, we're going to get the vibes back up if you're listening at home and not checking out the live show. So, my guy.
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. They had three boxes. They only had the XL open, so my group of six got six XLs. The kids are swimming. All right, if either of you want to move on from one of those XLs, I'll happily take it. Holla at your boy, and we'll make a deal.
We'll make it happen.
We've talked about this a couple times now. There's been a little bit of a conversation about this team needs a jolt. This team needs mm-hmm. a little energy. Hi, Chad. Mm-hmm. Chad Dodson's in the house, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
Chad, if you want to come hang out with us and grieve and bitch and vent, we're here for you. Maybe that jolt is TJ Friedel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to like change the whole offense by any stretch of the matter, but there's something about just having that guy that can kind of maybe make something happen. And I think he's, you know, obviously a fun player. Everyone enjoys having him in the clubhouse. He's a guy that brings the energy up. He's a guy that, you know, people rally around. He can get some big hits. He's obviously an incredible fielder, robbed of a gold glove. That's just my opinion. So, Dave, we are for sure. Dave asked if we're going to come down for a Dragons game. Dave, we have been discussing this on text messages like three times a week of late. It's probably going to happen. We need to do it before Hector Rodriguez goes to Chattanooga. So, it's probably going to be like, I don't know, 2 weeks the way he's hitting. So,
we need to make it happen.
We really need to make that happen. This is big. This is fun. I saw that Treg said it could be as early as this week. It could be as early as Tuesday for the Arizona series. I know that I don't think that I'll be too concerned about I'm not too concerned about the rehab assignment starts. I will say that he had a really nice double or two. So TJ, I'll pick you up, man. Like just I will drive to Louisville and come get you. Like we just need you here. All right. Like we just need you here. We need you comfortable. How's the wrist? Is it feeling good? You're taking swings. Great. All right. Let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah. I mean, that's huge, right? It's huge to get him back. You know, he was the table setter last year. He was the guy that got things started. So to get him back in our lineup you know, we talked about this before, but like you lose a guy like Friedel and you lose a guy like McClain and you lose a Marte, dude, it's eventually that catches up, right? Like you can't lose those three guys in your lineup and be like, okay, well, that's all right. Nick Martini will step in. You're like, really? Right. No. So I think we're starting to see a little bit of that. Getting Friedel back kind of brings us back a little bit. Because he's our guy. He's our center fielder. He's our table setter. He's our leadoff batter. He gives us steals. He gives us runs. He does all those little things that can help set the table for us to be able to get back on track a little bit. So bringing him back and getting him back, hopefully healthy and staying healthy, is going to be huge for us.
Friedel Ellie Steer sounds.
Yeah, that sounds
very nice.
Yeah. Sounds like music to my ears. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Chad's son, Casey, is hanging out with us. What's up, Casey? Thanks for tuning in. Chad wrote an awesome piece last year about his son and played his last year of high school baseball on his Substack. You should definitely check out. It's
okay.
It's really, really good. Something I really enjoyed reading. But yeah, dude, I think that this is just it's step one, right? Now step two and three don't sound like they're exactly going super close yet. I think Noelvi Marte, if I saw correctly, was taking swings in Arizona recently. There were some clips of that. And that was kind of this first domino of all this, right? Like that was when you're like, oh, this isn't going very well. But getting Friedel back, getting guys back to where they're more comfortable. I don't think Benson was necessarily a bad fielding center fielder. The arm obviously was the thing that we were like, eh. So getting him to back where he could do more right field, Fraley in a situation where he can DH more, I think is step one. And let's do a Fairchild at bats.
Yep. Everybody wins.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I think this is step one, and this is a nice thing to do. And like, God, they need everything they can get right now, obviously. Yep. So
no, absolutely.
Yeah. So I did want to do this conversation here. I didn't really have a prospect. I didn't have a chance to really like do some highlights from prospects that we discussed after we did the last couple weeks. But the two guys that are considered right now 1 and 2 in this upcoming draft, where the Reds have the number 2 pick, are crushing baseballs.
Yeah.
With a lot of power and a lot of excitement. I wanted to kind of talk about these guys and kind of see where things are, because obviously Cleveland has number 1 pick. So if things go the way they're supposed to, one of these two guys are going to drop in their laps. I've heard some rumblings that Cleveland may go another route to save a little money. So both of these guys could potentially be an option for the Reds, and that is Charlie Condon of the Georgia Bulldogs and Travis Bazana of Oregon State. If you look at these two dudes, and they are just hitters, man. They are for sure dudes. I mean, Condon, 32 homers, 66 RBI, 40 base on balls. That was going into today. He hit one today, too. I didn't see what Bazana did today. Bazana, 942 OPS. I mean, 21 homers, 51 RBI, 55 walks, and I like those 11 stolen bases. Yeah. So I don't know if I have a preference, because this early in the draft, you know, you're supposed to get the stud, the Hunter Green, the Nick Senzel, the Nick Lodolo. I know one of those names was not like the other. Just roll with me. But between these two, I'm stoked either way. I think Charlie Condon, you know, he's wearing those red and black colors now. If he wants to just kind of keep wearing those for his professional career, I'm not sad about it. I think he would look awfully good in a Reds uniform.
I think that he would look great. Looking at those numbers, I can't say that I haven't caught a whole lot of college baseball, but dude, if you're hitting the ball that well, and the SEC, you're doing all right. So to get that guy, in our lineup would be, or in the draft would be pretty cool. That's a freaking 33 home runs, dude. And the SEC is insane.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I know, dude. They
almost batting like 500 too. Jesus. Like, that's just freaking, that's bananas.
And I know that, well, actually it would be Bazana. I guess this is the last year of Pac-12 baseball too. So whatever, you know, next year when the Oregon State's in the Big Ten or wherever the hell they're going, I don't know anymore. It's hard to keep up with.
I was gonna say.
Look at this, Bob Bazana had 3 hits today.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, so regardless, the Reds are getting a stud at 2.
Yes.
And that's coming off of, you know, Cam Collier a couple years ago, stud. So I am really excited to see what happens here. Nick Kroll is going to draft Nick Kurtz for obvious reasons. I don't know, man. I think Nick Kurtz might look really good in a Guardians jersey. I think, like, it just suits him. Yeah. Oh. Bazana hit 3 home runs today.
Oh, my gosh. Did he really?
Okay. Bob, that's different than 3 hits, my guy.
Whoa.
Oh my God. They're going to the Mountain West. What is the Mountain West is a thing still? Like, of all conferences that survived, that one did?
Hold on. They're going to the Mountain West.
Oh my God.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow.
Who's even in that anymore? I should know this considering I'm a college basketball writer, but it's just...
Isn't BYU in the Mountain West?
Are they? I thought they were independent.
No, I think it's like BYU, Utah.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
Like, yeah. Okay. So yeah, that group, you know.
Okay, well, Travis Pizana won't be on the team, so it won't matter.
Won't matter.
He'll be getting a very nice signing bonus. All BYU is in the Big 12 because, of course, they are. I forgot about that.
Oh, everybody's in the Big 12. I should have known that.
Shout out.
Gosh dang.
Shout out Mark Pope. Pat says, draft someone and call them up immediately so my eyes stop hurting watching Fartini bat again and again. Was it the Angels? Like, they drafted the guy last year in June. He was on the big league club in, like, late July.
Was that them?
I think so. It's like, Brandon Finnegan, I don't know if you remember when the Royals drafted him. He pitched in the College Baseball World Series and the World Series within the same year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they got traded to the Reds, and something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to this series coming up. We obviously got the Diamondbacks coming to town. So obviously now, after Sydney's gave us the update, the TBAs have been filled in. So Frankie Montas will go Tuesday against Zach Gallen. Wednesday will be Graham Ashcraft against Jordan Montgomery. And then Hunter Green on Thursday against Slade Cecconi, who was a compensation first round overall pick, by the way, for all you draft geeks out there. Obviously, Arizona's a good team. I mean, that's step one, right? But also, they have had some flaws. I mean, Corbin Carroll has not become Corbin Carroll just yet. Please hold off for another couple weeks. Because
yeah, I was going to say, give us a couple weeks.
Yeah, looking at their lineup today. So, Ketel Marte has been really good. Pat says Gallen's going to shove against the Reds. Very possible. Gino has not gotten going yet. I'd be very content if the Reds won 4-1 and Gino hit a solo shot. Dude, all right. This is the Reds team here. We got a Washington Nationals situation here, Benny.
Oh, dude. Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Listen to this. This was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Gino hit 6 today.
Okay.
Corbin Carroll was 7. So he's like sandwiched between Kevin Newman.
Oh, wow.
And Tucker Barnhart.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know Tucker went there.
Yeah. Wow. So I think he signed like a minor league deal stuff, but they've been like going through hell and back there as well. All three of those guys, Gino's got a 616 OPS, Kevin Newman a 528, and Tucker Barnhart a 587. So you know, hopefully
haven't quite got it going
yet. Not quite yet. But I'm always going to love Gino. Anytime he's hanging out and he comes to town, I'm going to say what's up and just want to give him a big hug and say like, I miss you. And you know, right now you'd be really, really nice on this team right now. Be good to have you. If you're not too busy, talk to your agent, maybe.
See if we can make something happen.
Yeah. Just don't play shortstop. We don't need you to. Actually, we don't need you to do it anymore. All right, cool. So.
No, sure don't.
No. Yeah, they won 11-4 today against the Padres, but they are also 15-20. They've struggled quite a bit. So, Zach Gallen, you kind of just get through that game and maybe, I'm not saying throw the game, but like, you know what Zach Gallen can do. Yeah. And do your best in that game and maybe take Wednesday and Thursday at worst, sweep at best. You know, is that what we're feeling today? We're all feeling we're going to Roomba.
Let's do it, baby. Let's do it.
So that would be pretty awesome. Oh, Sydney says former Red Matt Bowman was there too. All right. We're not playing Immaculate Grid, guys. All right. Like calm it down. Calm down. So yeah. And then they go to, after the Arizona series, they start another West Coast swing where they go to play the Giants, the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers. So.
Dude, it's brutal.
Yeah. We're actually going to have here at Blue Wire. Obviously, we have a really, really awesome Dodgers show. So we're going to be joined next week by Jeff Spiegel of Dodger Blue. He's going to be coming up and hang out with us and talk about the Dodgers. No, I'm actually going to go on Dodger Blue and preview the Reds. So we did a little home and home with our Blue Wire fam. I'm very excited about. So Jeff's going to give us some fun insight about how cool it is to cover Mookie Betts every day.
Oh my gosh.
How awesome that is. And I can be like, yeah, that's great. But have you heard of Ellie De La Cruz?
Exactly.
Yeah. The Matt Bowman Experience saw them at Warped Tour in 2008. Scott, we're like at the end of the show now, and you're now popping in. So, all right, guys, we're like 13 minutes under time. Does anyone have questions they want to send us? Yes, Sydney, we know about Shohei. He goes without being said because, I don't know, someone's going to steal money from his bank account, right? So
you can bet on that.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, all right, so we have about 12 minutes to spare, so if we don't have any questions, so let's go ahead and go around the division real quick, because as bad as things were this week, guys, the Reds got beat by the Orioles. Okay, like, you can live with getting beat by the Orioles. They didn't get beat by the White Sox. You know who did, though? The St. Louis Cardinals got beat by the White Sox in St. Louis at Busch Stadium.
Gosh, that's brutal.
They lost 5-1 today. Yesterday. Did you see this whole thing yesterday in their game?
No, I did not.
They go to extras, and they get down to the last strike of the game, and they go to rain delay.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so they brought them back out to throw one pitch.
The one pitch. Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah, dude. It was awesome. You know, couldn't happen to a nicer group of guys. And then, on Friday, they, let's see what they do on Friday. Okay, Friday they did win 3-0. But, you know, like, I think we're all kind of just feeling great, right?
Yeah. I mean, think about this. I mean, we've lost 5 in a row. And we are still only 4.5 back in the division, and we're still third. So, I mean, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. Let's everybody take a collective deep breath, sigh, and get this thing figured out. So, I do have a question for you, Tim.
Oh, boy. Ben's got questions.
So I got a question. So, we talk about the guys in our farm system and the things, you know, all these prospects and things like that. Well, we did talk about TJ Friedl coming back this week, hopefully. Is there anybody else? And I know that you may have mentioned, but if you're thinking long term, is there anybody else that you'd be like, man, this guy needs to be up here like yesterday?
All right, so I will front this by,
I'll say this: I'm not talking about like we just desperately need this guy. Like I'm just saying,
I don't know, we might desperately need this guy right now.
Like, but is there somebody there where you're like, man, like, and if we're looking up here in June and we're like, dude, we're still treading water. Is there somebody that we could bring up and be like, yeah, this is it?
I don't know, man, just because their problems that we've seen this last week have just been so hard, right? Like, it's just a lot. Yep. Connor Capel came up earlier in the chat. I know he's a guy who's had a pretty good run in Louisville so far. I would absolutely love to see Reese Hines get a chance. Yeah. I'm still really high on him. I know, like I said, we talked about earlier, the Blake Dunns, who was just a minor league player mm-hmm. to get in the system. Mm-hmm. He'd be fine.
But I'm like, we're like, I guess my thing is that like, I don't want to say wasting, but like Nick Martini, Stuart Fairchild, like these guys are taking at bats. Like, is there somebody like we could have that could be that guy that could come in from there? You know, like a Reese Hines, like somebody like that, that can get quality at bats now that we know we're going to need in the future.
You're saying they're in the minors?
Yes.
You didn't specify what organization?
Nope.
Okay, because there's a guy that's supposed to be in AAA that's recovering right now in the Toronto system. He had a home run in spring training. I feel like he could really give some nice at-bats for them. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe you call them and just throw them a couple bucks.
Yeah.
I think.
Since they got him for like a pork sandwich.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. I think he could be really helpful. I don't know. I feel like if you say his name, the wrong side of the Reds faithful gets a little mad at you.
But yeah, they do. It gets volatile.
Yeah. Volatile.
Volatile. Hey.
We're on a slump right now. We need to be entertaining.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
How do you, like, if you're David Bell, how do you go about this? How do you attack this skid? Like, how do you attack the slump of the skid? Like, like I said, David Bell can't go up there and take it back. So I'm not sitting up there saying it's his fault, this, that, and that. But how do you attack a slump?
It's so funny you bring this up because I remember I had this conversation with Mo a couple years ago, and it's something that just like always stuck with me that I always laughed at, where, you know, the conversation forever was like the easiest place to spend money is the bullpen. And it just never would, right? Like, look, we can literally have a field day right now just naming random ass Reds Reds bullpen pitchers that we've seen over the years. Then we could be like, oh yeah, they did have that guy. He was terrible. We had this guy. He was terrible. Like Mo said, like if he were David Bell, every time he went out and took a guy off the mound, he would just look up at like the owner's box and just be like, and I just always thought that was so funny. It's like now, like they go and got guys who to like be in the bullpen, right? And I know Brent Suter was not good today. I'm not, but like 99% of the time, I trust him. And you know, Buck Farmer is like is far later now in where he's like called upon. Thank God, than where he was in the years past. But now, you're right. It's like now you're at the situation where it's like when you're him, it's like, who did you guys give me to throw out there? I'm freaking batting Stuart Fairchild third in a major league game. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable because it's like, I know everyone talks about Mike Ford, Scott brought him up and I was all for giving him a shot. It's just, I didn't think he was the answer. I just didn't think he would be worse than what they currently had. And I don't know. He's not Jack Parkman. There's another major league reference for you guys. So
Jack Parkman, there you go, baby.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just like, would I rather see Reese Hines getting at bats right now than Jamer Candelario? Sure. Would I much rather see him getting at bats, more at bats than Stuart Fairchild and Dick Martini? Yes. I would rather see freaking Hector Rodriguez getting at bats at the big league level than Nick Martini right now.
Yeah.
Look, Mr. Owen's going in on all these guys. The Jeremy Affeltz, John Kulangis. God, I forgot about him. Ross Detweiler. I forgot about Ross Detweiler.
Mr. Juan. I love it.
Jeremy Affeltz was a pitcher for the Reds. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mike Lincoln, my dude.
There you go.
Nick Mass Hits.
Oh my gosh. Dude, it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
I'll never forget.
What's the, gosh, geez, that's terrible.
I'll never forget Nick Massett. It was 2010. They're playing the Braves. They're in Atlanta. And they're up like 9-1
mm-hmm.
in the ninth inning. They lose 10-9.
Massett, I do like, remember that.
Massett gets like smoked. He didn't give up all nine runs, yeah. but he was like atrocious.
No, he started it.
And whoever was for the Braves hit the game-winning home run. It bounced off Lance Nix's glove.
Mm-hmm.
It was like
incredible.
Oof. Yeah. So that's one. Seth says, don't do it, Tim. That'll be one of his, that could be one of your baseball reference rabbit hole shorts that you posted on the, yep. on the Riverfront. That was great. I love that. Yeah. Another Ricky Karcher roller coaster. I love it. AJ Morris in 2016. Oh my God. I think the moral of the story is that the Reds have not necessarily been up for making sure that their bullpen was significantly better for quite a while there.
Yeah.
All right. did I even answer your question? I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think you did in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Typical Tim fashion. Get my word down up like I'm Barry Larkin.
No, you're good. What's that? I do wonder though, like if there is a move out there, knowing that you're probably not going to get Matt McClain back, I do wonder if there's a move out there that you could make to bring somebody in, and I'm not saying I'm just talking about like a trade or something. I don't know. I'm really not sure, but you know, is there somebody out there or some kind of move that's sitting behind the back panels of Reds management, and they're like, dude, if it gets to this, we can make this move here. I do wonder that sometimes, because I think that every baseball GM has that one thing in their pocket where they can make something happen and be like, okay, this is what we need to do. I would assume.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like this thing or not where it's like teams don't know if they're allowed to make deals before the deadline.
Right.
So like San Diego made that deal this week for Luis Arraez.
Right.
And baseball was just like,
what are you doing? It's not the trade deadline yet. Yeah,
sir, it's the fifth week of the season.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see what their freaking GM said?
I did not.
Oh my God. He was like, in a roundabout way, he goes like, well, we're not going to be very good this year. Like they were really? Just in the playoffs last year.
You're right.
Their manager Jeez, was like, geez. They manager of the year. They have a superstar. Wow.
They do have field. A superstar.
And I understand Alcantara got hurt and all this stuff, but like, I don't know. Is that worse than, well, where are you going to go?
Yeah. Ooh. Maybe. Mm. Maybe.
Chat, you guys are hanging out. You like to chime in on our fun conversations and just give us things to kill for the next minute and a half. Which one's worse? Well, we're not going to be very good this year, or well, where are you going to go? Which one would you just be more pissed off by? I don't know. Maybe one of these Arizona guys can just stay in Cincinnati. Could tell Marte, you just want to hang out. We'll flip you for somewhere.
Just want to hang out
when everyone comes back. I don't know. Can we do like your team's like terrible, and we'll take Ketel Marte, and you guys can take Jamer Candelario on the plane back with you. I think that's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I guess the answer is, well, where are you going to go? All right. Cool. I agree, guys.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll never forget hearing that and going like, wait, what happened? Because I was not listening to the radio live at that time.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Seho has the interview with him. He's like, I just want to kind of get your thoughts on what you said earlier. Instead of him being like backing down. Nope.
Right.
It's like,
nope.
Nope. Oh, man.
Not at all.
Not at all. All right, dude. Well, hey. I think we can go ahead and wrap this week's episode up. I really hope next week is a lot more fun. And we're talking we're talking about a couple wins against Arizona. They want to go get a win or two against San Francisco too. That would be even better on top of the Arizona wins. So I still think, I mean, look, we're going to say this. Woosah.
Yep. Deep breaths.
Would Kendrick Lamar say we're going to be all right? Actually, I don't know what he's been saying lately. Maybe not. But
hey, bro, I agree. Say he's been on fire lately. Yeah. I'm not going. Listen, daily. I'm not going to say his name. Listen, I'm not going to say his name. I don't want to get on the list.
Yeah. But I will reference his fantastic. We're gonna be all right. And that's what I'm gonna roll with. Scott Ruggio says, "What do you think about Alex Bregman? If the Astros want to give up Alex Bregman, bring him on over. I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
Jeez, worst case, he's DHing when Matt McClain comes back. So, mm-hmm. All right, dudes, we're gonna wrap this week's edition up of Late Night Reds, part of Riverfront, part of Blue Wire. As always, if you're not subscribed to us, do so. Please do so. Takes 5 seconds, helps the channel out a ton. Like this video. Check out our podcast on whatever choice of whatever app you're using. Go to patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. Hey, July 6th, 12 to 2. If you're in town, come party with us. Bourbon, smoked chicken wings, incredible brisket. Maybe some special guests. I'm working some details out. But we're gonna put on a great party for our Riverfront fan base and our family. For those of you who can be in town, Sydney just has to be in Greece, and not like Greece is the word, as you heard. It's got groove, it's got meaning. Like actually, like Greece. So, So on behalf of Ben Brown, this is Tim Daniel. Make sure you check out everything going on at the Riverfront because we are ballin' right now. And I mean,
absolutely.
What other live show do you want to hang out and listen to talk about the Reds and us? Have a good one, everybody.